Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Former General and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said this week, President Trump was the first president in his lifetime who doesn't try to unite the American people. The president's former chief of staff, John Kelly, another general, says he agrees with Mattis, not alone in their criticism of the president among conservative allies. George Will, arguably the most prominent conservative pundit of the modern era, and in a column in the Washington Post, he called for the ouster of President Trump and his elected Republican supporters.
So George Will joins us now on In Depth. Thank you for joining us. George, are you making the argument for not only voting out President Trump, but also Republicans controlling the Senate?
That is a fair summation, and my reasoning is as follows. There's an old axiom that when there's no penalty for failure, failures will multiply. And when there's no penalty for irresponsible behavior on the part of a party, when a party is not held accountable, its failures will multiply. The president has been completely successful in cowing and instilling fear in the congressional Republicans so that they do not perform their function under the Madisonian balance of power to check and balance a runaway executive. The column I wrote was sent to the Post on last Monday, and that night there was the great Battle of Lafayette Square, where the president used force to clear the way for his photo opportunity in front of St. John's Church. On Tuesday morning, when my column appeared in the paper, the Republicans in Congress were vindicating my column by not saying a peep, not a word of serious criticism of the president.
Early on in the administration, there was this notion that the reason why the Republicans were going along with Trump was because they wanted certain things from him. They wanted certain judges on the court. They wanted certain tax cuts that worked in their favor. And once they got that, perhaps they would rebel. Well, they have gotten substantially what they wanted, maybe not all, but substantially. Why are they not rebelling now?
Because they're afraid. They're afraid of their own voters. That is, they're afraid of the Republican base. They saw what happened to former Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona and former Senator Corker of Tennessee and former Congressman Sanford of South Carolina. All three managed to annoy the president, provoke from him one tweet, and they saw their careers go poof. And I'm afraid there are a great many people in Congress for whom careerism is the highest value.
Are you no longer in the Republican Party? And I don't think you are. Is that because you don't think there really is a Republican Party? Is it pretty much a Trump Party now?
Well, I think there is a Republican Party, and it is the Trump Party. I left the Republican Party, let's see, this is what, the 5th? I left the Republican Party on the 3rd of June, 2016, the day after my friend, who I very much admire and like, Paul Ryan, endorsed the president, having said earlier that the president was guilty of textbook racism and all kinds of other matters. And what I thought when someone as intelligent and cheerful and public-spirited as Paul Ryan was going to endorse Trump, Trump was going to be normalized.
But of course, the president clearly represents, I mean, he's a symptom, is he not? He's not the cause. He was a reflection of the millions of people who voted for him, and I would imagine many of whom will continue to support him. So what does that say about the country?
Well, that's a very good question. In 2016, for the first time in American history, we had a choice in the autumn of the presidential election year between two candidates, both of whom, never happened before, both of whom had higher disapproval than approval ratings. So the country had an unpalatable choice, and you could understand them saying, let's go with the devil we don't know, rather than the one who, Hillary Clinton, who'd been in the public eye since 1992. Now the country has watched this man govern for 3 years and 4 months, and still about 40% of the country approves of what he's doing. Now, that's a sobering thought about our country, but it's also important to note that 40% will not elect this president, not re-elect this president. We're going to have a two-way race, and someone is going to get a majority of the votes.
Well, but as you know, the majority of the votes obviously doesn't necessarily translate into who ends up being inaugurated come January, depending on the Electoral College. So could he not, let's say, lose the majority vote but still get reelected?
He could, but he lost the majority vote by 3 million votes, almost 3 million votes last time. He's going to lose it by a lot more than that this time. He won because he fewer than 78,000 votes spread over three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. He will, I'm fairly confident, lose all three of those states next time. The Electoral College will do what it does so well. It will produce an emphatic victory for the winner of the popular vote.
But then what happens to the millions of people who will still be, I suspect, supportive of him, even if he fails to get another term? They are not going to disappear. My guess with President Trump is he won't necessarily slip silently back into Trump Tower either. He'll probably remain fairly vocal, at least on Twitter. What happens then?
Well, I think in any election, someone loses. The losers' constituents are more or less reconciled to it. Some of them aren't. But the question I think you're posing is, will there be Trumpism after Trump?
Yes.
I'm skeptical. When George Wallace got a whole lot of votes in 1968, shortly after in campaigning again in 72, he was shot, Wallaceism disappeared. In 1992, when Bill Clinton was running against the incumbent president, George Herbert Walker Bush, Ross Perot came out of Texas and out of nowhere and got 19.7% of the popular vote. When he disappeared, Perotism disappeared.
Do you have a concern, though, that this scenario that I'm about to paint could happen in the fall? There isn't a second wave, for whatever reason, or substantial second wave of this awful coronavirus. The economy continues to improve to enough of a degree that the market is reasonably well. The unemployment level, while high, perhaps much lower than the experts have been predicting. Still, perhaps some palpable racial tensions that flare from time to time via social media and television. And he stands there before Election Day and essentially says, I told you so.
Well, here's why I don't worry about that. He has never been ahead in any poll against Joe Biden this year. He's now behind in the Real Clear Politics average of polls of between 5 to 10 points. He's behind 10 points in the ABC Washington Post poll. There are very few undecided voters. And even before the pandemic hit the American people and knocked the economy sideways, even before that, there was a clear sense that he was losing not only in the national popular vote, but in the crucial swing states as well. So I don't think that, and I hope there is a V-shaped recovery. I hope there is a quick turnaround. But I don't think that will cause the American people to say after 4 years of this, let's have four more. I don't think the American people are angry. I don't think the American people are furious with one another. I think they're sad and embarrassed and exhausted, and I don't think they want four more years.
George Will, conservative pundit, has that new column in the Washington Post.